all in this together, Lord. And I just want to bless Roger's word this morning, that our hearts could be receptive and we could be looking to you to speak to us this morning, removing all blocks and defenses we put up, Lord. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Michael, just like to make special mention what an honor it is to have both Deborah Burbles and Daniel Williams' mother, Mrs. Williams, here this morning. I was with her just 1 week ago in Three Hills. And you know what I'm finding in the school that I graduated from? The same thing is happening here in Niverville, and that is that there is a stronger message coming forth that is emphasizing that grace is greater than sin and the power of forgiveness. We heard a powerful message on forgiveness last Sunday morning at the Prairie Tabernacle congregation. I know I used to go to church there, and I didn't always go away feeling like I was forgiven, but this weekend I did, and that the past is over and a new day is dawning. And it was the same thing last night when we were at the with the First Nations at the Victoria Inn, and you know, there was a grand chief there who grew up in the church, and he said the reason many of us left the church, he said, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. We had about 11 people there, and I know all about the church, he said. But he said, what I'm seeing happening among First Nations right now is a new movement where the self-righteousness and the judgmentalism and the hypocrisy is leaving. We're starting to be real, you know, and honest. And he said, you know, we had a powerful evening of reconciliation there last night. So this is really happening all over. So before we go any further, Peter, if I'd like to show that first little clip, it's sung by a singing group called the Isaacs. I believe these folks have some connection with the music ministry that's going to be with us in 2 weeks' time, Jason and Jackie Heistad. In fact, they gave me this clip. So if we could put that up there, it's the Lord's Prayer.
Forever.
So when any truth is being restored, God is using the instrument of music to connect with hearts in order to get the message of forgiving one another as we have been forgiven and seeing his kingdom come and his will being done on the earth in the same way that is done in heaven. And we want our churches to become places where that atmosphere of heaven fills the room. And you know, if our voices as a church are mixed between voices of fault finding and condemnation, mixed with a message that is also trying to encourage each other, we're not speaking with one voice. But there is a prophetic word that's coming, I think, especially out of our province of Manitoba. When we speak with one voice, there is a word that's going to come forth from within that's going to be heard out there in the world, and they're going to see Jesus in a different way, and they're going to start coming back. And I think we saw that last night. I don't have time to get into the First Nations issues right now this morning, but I'd like if you could put the PowerPoint screen on there right now, and I'm just going to build on this theme from the Lord's Prayer a bit. Excuse me. How Jesus taught us to pray, and this was the song, of course, that Lisa Moose sang at our community service on September the 8th. Not praying to Mother Earth, but praying to our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the prayer is not to the creation or created things to help us, but to the God, the Father, who created all things. The kingdom of God is within you. When we pray for this kingdom to come, where is it? And Jesus said it's not going to come with observation. It's not going to come with outward show. It's not going to come with big military parades and pomp and circumstance. He said that kingdom is already within you. Find it. The kingdom of God is the one place that no one wants to look to solve their problems often is inward. And so the kingdom of God, however, is within and comes by way of the heart. It is not outward like eating and drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so God mandates civil government with the responsibility to place an external restraint on evil. Hopefully that's what they do, instead of open the floodgates to evil. But that's why we need a military and a police force. But these external restraints do not resolve evil or heal the human condition. But they're simply a stopgap measure until hearts yield to the grace of God and start overcoming evil with good instead of with more evil or adding evil to evil. We heard it in one of the songs this morning, the King of my heart. The kingdom of God comes from the inside out by way of the heart and will keep expanding as hearts yield to Christ and allow his powerful presence and grace to destroy the strongholds of pride, of control, of others, and of self-centeredness in our lives. If we're not surrendering to Christ in this way, it is easier for our Christians to look to politics or to external legislation as the solution to our problems, instead of to first deal with our own heart issues and to become self-controlled and motivated by the agape love of the Father for all people. One of the courses we've learned says, "Change my heart, O God." The kingdom of God expands from the spiritual realm into our heart and soul through repentance and faith, repentance of our dead works, and religious efforts in trying to change ourselves, and faith in the finished work of Christ and in the goodness of God to change us from the inside out. It is the goodness and the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. And so the government of God flows from the throne of God. And what is his throne called in the New Testament? It is a throne of grace. We know that when Christ gets hold of a life or a church, that transformation occurs. Scripture teaches that in Christ, sin is forgiven, truth is revealed, power is available, and lives are made new. In both partisan politics and religious denominationalism, we tend to deal with evil by accusing and blaming others for it, and magnifying their faults while justifying ourselves, because outwardly we are not as bad as them. Yet we each need the grace of God as much or more than anybody else. One of the speakers last night mentioned when a group of First Nations youth and elders got together and said, let's start talking to each other. And they asked the youth, what would you like to see? What would you like to see happen in the church? And the youth are saying, we wish we would see Christians stop fighting each other. And so this is why many have stopped. Many have a fear. If they come to church, they're going to be judged. They're going to be condemned. They're going to be found fault with. But Jesus chose to absorb the ugliness of evil and turn it into something beautiful. Yes. When we bring our lives into the open, in the kingdom of God, Jesus came to reveal the beauty of forgiveness. Jesus bore the sin of the world without a word of recrimination, but only a prayer of forgiveness. He bore the sin of the world all the way down to death. And so one of the songs we sang last week in Three Hills, about love, that he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. The Holy Arnie perceived in the prophetic metaphors in the book of Revelation is that the monstrous beasts and the dragon are conquered by a little slaughtered lamb. Jesus saves the world not by shedding the blood of his enemies, but by allowing his own blood to be shed in an act of redemptive love. And as the hymn, Herein Is Love, that's the song they sang last Sunday, Herein Is Love, grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice at the cross, it kissed a guilty world in love. Now, there's nothing wrong with the law in the sense that the Bible says it is holy and good and right. But the problem with the law in and of itself, without an inward presence in one's life that is based on a righteousness that is not our own, it is weak through our flesh. It says in Romans 8 and verse 3, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So that now, how are lives changed? How are we transformed? And we've heard this scripture used so many times, and it's a key verse, and that we've been talking about the new covenant being a covenant of transformation. That how are we transformed? We who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. You know, the Lord's glory is his absolute goodness, his grace, his forgiveness, his love. It's not mixed in with any accusation. And so to come into that realm of his glory, we need to let go of those things. God is doing this work in my own family, where we have, where my father and mother were so hurt when they met each other, that they were trying to get out of each other the things they were lacking, and they couldn't do that for each other because they were both hurt and they were both broken. But now I could look back, and we shared a report with my family just last night, how over 70 years, God is bringing us closer to one another, as we're being drawn closer to the gospel, the message of the gospel. And yet we were all raised in quite a legalistic upbringing, like many of us have, where righteousness was judged by outward standards often. Maybe not completely, but in many ways it was. And so We who with unveiled face contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed and changed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's how it's been working out in my life, in my family. I'm seeing this happen in the church. And so we have to thank God for the good things in our past, the blessings we've received from our parents and our grandparents, honor our father and mother. But let's also remember that God is raising up a generation. This can be anyone who lives on the earth today who want to see the understanding of the gospel go further and deeper. So here are four irrefutable facts about how people's lives are influenced and transformed. The Western nations were built upon the Judeo-Christian heritage that believes that God is the creator of all and that we are created in his image as male and female. And our past laws have reflected that. But today, many church attenders have lost a revelation of the grace of God, and their Christianity has been reduced to keeping the law, to outwardly doing the right things without a heart change. And so consequently, self-righteousness, judgmentalism, fault-finding, and hypocrisy has entered into the Western church. This is why many people have stopped coming to church, because they see it as a place of external rules only and laws only, and not a place where the grace abounds, even to the chiefest of sinners. So fact number one is this, that external legislation is downstream from politics. In other words, politics informs our external laws and our legislation, and we want good laws. We want them to line up as much as possible. We understand that civil government is still temporal government, because the kingdom of God is not going to come through that route. It's not going to come by imposing our worldview upon others. It's not going to come from the outside in. It's going to come from the inside out. So what politics does, it informs our external laws and legislation without being able to write those laws upon the hearts of the people themselves. Fact number two is that politics then is downstream from culture. In other words, culture, which is the heart language of a people, inform the people who write the laws. And so the third fact is that culture is downstream from spirituality. The issues, the heart of our issues, are the issues of the heart, and every heart is influenced by a belief system which is spiritual in its source. It's what we believe that is going to, and out of the heart, that the issues of life are going to be defined. And so either in our heart we're believing what is true or we're believing what is false. And therefore, the heart issues of our nation go back to the beliefs, the heart beliefs that they hold. And so the culture we live in is influenced by a belief system which is spiritual in its source. And then fact number four is that spirituality is informed by a belief system that is either Christian, that's a worship of the Creator, or it's influenced by the old paganism or the New Age, worship of the creation, or it'll be influenced by atheistic values at its source. Belief matters, and it will work its way out either to freedom or to tyranny, depending on what we believe. Now, what should we be believing? We were singing about it this morning. God is good. He is better than you think. The church's commission is to make disciples of nations and to influence the belief system of our culture and nation by challenging the belief systems of the dominant culture. First, that God is a good God, not a punishing God, but because he created human beings in his image and with free will, he will not impose his kingdom of justice upon any human life. We need a revelation of who Jesus is in his present condition as the Lord of glory and as the Lord of all the nations of the earth. Not sometime in the future, but today. He is the Lord today. Secondly, Our message to the culture in addressing the things that are wrong is not to say that sin does not exist, but rather that sin was dealt with once and for all time at the cross, and that heaven's peace and perfect justice has kissed a guilty world with love. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. We used to understand the message to repent. Oh, get your life straightened out, and then God will forgive you. Well, if you could straighten out your own life, you would not need the grace of God. You would not need to be saved. If you could do this, get your life together. I used to hear it told, get your life straightened out, and then get saved, and then go to church. And so you can see why, with that sort of belief system, we were misrepresented God. Our task is not to protest the world into a certain external conformity, but it's to attract the world to the saving beauty of Christ. We do this best not by protest or political action, but by enacting a beautiful presence within the world. The Western Church has a 4-century experiment with viewing salvation in a scientific or a mechanistic manner, presenting it either as a plan, a system, a formula. It would be much better if we would return to viewing salvation as a song that we sing. The task of the church is to creatively and faithfully sing the songs of Zion in the midst of a world founded upon the beastly principle of greed, decadence, and violence. So what is needed is not an ugly protest, but a beautiful song. Not a pragmatic system, but a transcendent symphony. Why? Because God is more like a musician than a manager. He's more like a composer of symphonies than a clerk keeping ledgers. And when you think of a symphony, and we're going to get into this in a moment here, but when God spoke everything into existence, he released the frequencies of that sound of his voice into every living thing. And so sin has done a terrible number on us in veiling from us the beauties of the glorified Jesus, so that we've lost our song. We stop being creative. We start looking at all the things that are wrong in the world. We don't see that God is the ruler yet, that he is supreme over all things, over all created things. And that which he has already deposited in every living thing, he wants it back. Return to him in a song of praise for the one who sits on the throne of the universe. I said last night to the First Nations people that God is the only one who's fit to sit on the universe's throne, because he does not use that power to control our lives, but he uses that power and that grace to get on the inside of us, to change us from the inside, so that we are free indeed, free from the past, and free to move into our glorious inheritance as sons of the living God. So, touching hearts, one note at a time. This is why the songwriters of a nation influence the belief systems and the culture of that society more than the politicians. Again, I'm not wanting to put down, but I'm just saying the level of influence, it works best where we can connect with the hearts of people and see change take place from the inside rather than trying to put pressure from the outside in. This is to say that politics, this is not to say, rather, that politics is not a legitimate calling, but it is to say that we need believers who will go into every sphere of influence in our society as salt and light, who will share the good news of the gospel, even if it gets them crucified. However, because we believe in the power of the resurrection, that death itself, the fear of government, saying if you don't do it our way in imposing a state religion on everyone in the culture, which is the way of the world, that will not intimidate, a person who knows that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that dwells within us. And therefore, we will not be fearful. And as we make our voice as one, the influence of the church will continue to grow and increase as the church becomes a safe place where people will not run into judgmentalism or self-righteousness, but it is totally by the grace of God. We're starting to hear story after story where the grace of God has redeemed people from the deepest pits. And you're going to hear more of those stories in the coming weeks and months, I know. So, we need people, including politics, or people will go into those areas as salt and light, who will share the good news of the gospel, even if it gets them crucified. However, words alone tend to lead to debates and arguments that do not get fully resolved until we join our hearts in worship and release our sound and our songs in addition to our spoken words. We can come together to worship together in the Spirit. Come together. We can laugh together. We can pray together. We can connect with one another, that are people that are different from us. Ethnicities that are different, how can they connect? How can they be themselves and still join to something bigger than ourselves? It's only by the Holy Spirit that that can happen. So what does it mean that God is the creator? When it says God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. A creator who created human beings in his image means that he wants us to reflect his image by being creative, by creating songs, by creating art, by creating wealth, by creating a culture that will reflect his image, that will reflect his beauty, his love, his forgiveness, and his goodness as a good, good father upon the earth. This goes right back to Genesis chapter 1. We were created to reflect his likeness and to fill the earth. That's the same commission Jesus gave when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, so that we mature as sons and daughters of God to reflect what our Father is really like. These truths are being most effectively being communicated today through some of the contemporary worship songs that are being released in our day. You'll notice how many, before we really get a hold of this truth, a deeper understanding of God's grace and forgiveness. We know in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, and Genesis 1 tells us that God spoke everything into existence. So we know that everything has a vibration that resounds the voice of the Creator. If God spoke everything into existence, including nature and human beings, and if our DNA vibrates in our innermost atom, then the release of that voice and that sound, that is what calms us, heals us, and causes us to be one with him in spirit, soul, and body. When we release our sound and our voice becomes one with what the Father in heaven is saying, the very gates of the kingdom of hell are going to shake and vibrate and crumble and be replaced with a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Music is what takes us beyond the natural into the supernatural realm, where we encounter either the dark side of the kingdom of the dark side of lies and deception, or the kingdom of light and of truth. It is the truth that sets us free, and if we were courageous enough to face the truth of the Word of God, we find the truth to be liberating and freeing rather than condemning and putting us down. And so all creation is waiting for the very apparent liberty of God's mature sons and daughters to be released, so that all of creation will resound with his praises, causing a symphony of voices in heaven and things on earth and every form of life, has deposited within us. You know, why does the Bible talk about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands? It's talking to the land itself, to rejoice and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There's many scriptures about the animals also praising God, the hills and the mountains breaking forth into singing and all these sorts of things. It's in our Bibles, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And so at Maranatha, we want to encourage our people to inform culture by moving into every sphere of our society. Some of you may be aware that just last weekend, where some of us were in Three Hills, but Svea Brown did this past weekend when she spoke to a woman's retreat of some 80 ladies from the Word of Life Church who had thoughts of guilt and shame from the past lifted off of them, and they were set free by the understanding that Jesus bore both our guilt and our shame. These ladies now understand that this message is not just for the Word of Life Church, but it's for the Church of Niverville. It's for the church of every tribe and every nation, and we're starting to become unified in our voice, that we are in agreement with what Jesus did at the cross, and he does not want us to live with these thoughts of guilt and shame and condemnation that have ruled so many of us in our past. And so we influence people's choices then. In the areas of abortion, yes, we are opposed to abortion, but we also support those others and those mothers who keep their precious little ones through ministries like the Layette Love Ministry. We don't just tell people what they're doing is wrong. We have to point them to the fact that God wants to help them come out of whatever the quagmires of life they're in and come into a new day of liberty, because deep down everyone knows deep down that abortion is wrong, but we need to be a light in the midst of that. We want to influence culture by encouraging the creation of new songs. See, everything begins, I think, in worship. In our Constitution, the first freedoms that are mentioned are the freedom of worship, and then the freedom of belief, and then the freedom of thought, and the freedom of conscience, and then the freedom of speech, and then the freedom of action. It flows in that order, but it begins in who do we worship. That's why I say all these things at their root are spiritual rather than just political or external. So we want to influence culture by encouraging the creation of new songs to bring greater freedom to our worship, by allowing freedom for worship to include things like flagging and dancing and just the breaking out of what is inside of people, to honor God and to praise God with whatever he has put or deposited inside them. God wants it to come and given back to him in worship. So in just 2 weeks' time, on October 13th, we'll be welcoming a family from Regina whom God is using to bring prophetic messages to the secular marketplace. They've just recently been down to Nashville to record songs that are going to get onto secular radio stations. And they are going to, but they've been given something creative and something that is resonating, and they're reaching people beyond the walls of our church buildings. And so there's other creative songwriters who will be joining us as we want to see all of creation begin to release their sound in praise to the living God. If you can just turn that off now, Peter, in the few moments we have left, we just have time to just share with you a short clip. I want to illustrate to you something that I've never shared publicly yet, but I was at this service down in Fort Worth, Texas, back in 2005 with Winky Pratney. And, I at that time was working with George Otis Jr., and we were talking about healing the land, and how God wants to restore land so it will be filled with the presence of God as well as the human beings. And so Winky Pratney shared this little clip to show how that all there's something deposited in all creation. If we just tap into the right frequency, you'll see there's music everywhere praising God, even the crickets. Just listen to this.
Link.
We would hear all creation declaring his glory. Now, this is crickets.
What you're hearing here is two tracks. And one track is the sound of ordinary crickets, has those dumb little things there. That you're hearing another sound. This recording I have actually goes on for hours. It's all kinds of things. This is what it actually is.
What you are hearing is a recording of crickets. There are two tracks. One is played at regular speed, and the other is a slowed down version. Crickets have a faster lifespan than humans do. Their sounds are slowed down to the equivalent of a human lifespan. What you are hearing are the crickets only. No instruments or voices are added. Listen.
If you could hear what God hears, the whole creation is honoring him. The birds, the trees, even the dumb little bugs, all have their own symphony, and God loves that creation.
There's a lot more of this sort of information. Bonnie gave me a video recently, too, about a speaker, and he, you know, the sound of the bellowing of whales and of the stars, even, and the rhythm, you know, that's there in the stars, and the sound of the birds, and you put all these sounds together in a way that harmonizes, that it makes a beautiful symphony. But what God has been looking for is a church that will harmonize, that will symphonize our voices with the voices of heaven and with the voices that are already there in the creation, so that everything that has breath will praise the Lord. And that is our destiny. We have something to press into here, to fill the earth, as he commissioned us in Genesis chapter 1, to fill the earth with the knowledge of who he is, fill the earth with his praises. And so, there's going to be other creative songwriters that are rising up here, right here in Manitoba, that will be joining us in just 2 weeks' time. People like Alisa Tina Moose, who... her life was transformed when she did a set of worship at our burn event here back in 2015. And, she ministered again powerfully last night. There's people like Tiffany Butler, who led that burn event. She's going to be here with her husband, Trevor. And then there's Kat Plett and Anne Clausen from Winkler area. And they're all sensing something important is going to be taking place, where all these creative worshipers and creative songwriters are going to be come together. And all we encourage, you don't have to be like anyone else, but let's release what is inside of us and then flow together. Let's cause our voice to harmonize. I know when I led a coffee house ministry in Prince Albert years ago, there was one guy, when he'd get up to dance, he would just make us, you know, draw attention to himself, and you could tell right away the spirit of it was not right, because he wasn't really glorifying God. He was just distracting and causing, but God is raising up, I think, an army of people that are submitted to the Lordship of Christ, who are going to use their sound and their song to flow together, so that when we make our voice as one, there's going to be a stronger prophetic word that will come out of the church, that the world is going to start to take note, because now we're going to be a unified church rather than a divided church. Amen. Does this raise any question from anyone you'd like to raise? How does this resonate with you? I know we're taking new territory here, and I was just saying this morning, sometimes that seems to be my calling to, but these are truths that have been there, but God is beginning to reveal them in our day as something that he is going to raise up a unified and a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Amen. So, just any questions, comments, anyone? Yeah.
So when I was taking notes, I wrote down, the walls of Jericho fell when God's people harmonized together with God to break down walls that should never have been broken. And when you're talking about the vibration, you know, of people, it's like, well, that's exactly what would have happened. Like, physically, that's what could have happened, right? God could have said, this is what this wall needs, this is what's going to happen, and exactly that. So I don't know, just touched a nerve there. So.
And you see that principle run throughout Scripture, like when Paul and Silas were in prison, and when they praised God at midnight, the walls of that prison were shaken, you know, and the prisoners were set free. And, we see the same thing in Acts 4 when they were being persecuted, and when they lifted up their voice in one accord, every voice. See, there's like, I didn't show the video of it here, but Brendan Dick from the Word of Life Church, he's called our community worship events one voice. That even though we are different members, we're going to speak with one voice to the goodness of God. We're going to flow together to the goodness and grace of God. And it says when they lifted up their voice with one accord, the place was shaken. You know? So all these strongholds of darkness where people are believing lies, like many of those strongholds fell just this last weekend at this ladies' retreat. And I think God's going to use a lot of our women who have been deeply hurt and bruised and even abused to convey a message that God is a good God and that he has redeemed their past and given them a hope and a future. Great, it says in Psalm 68, great was the company of the women who published that word. So, yeah. Anyone else want to say anything? Add anything?
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. That opening song.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we could just play that one more time. Could we, Bruce, that opening song, Our Father, who art in heaven? And I just want to pray a blessing on you this morning. Let's just close the service with standing to our feet, if we would. And I'm just going to ask that we just begin to release our voice, your sound. And we want to learn to symphonize. This is what we've been doing at the Tuesday evening cry prayer meetings, is to lift our voice heavenward and to find our voice in the presence of God and begin to influence change by shifting atmospheres, creating an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can do a greater work in our lives and our families as we lift up those who are still prodigals, they're still have lost their way, but we're calling them back home to the Heavenly Father's house. And so we pray for each one. And so let's just flow, and then we just have Michael come and he can just close the service, but let's just sing in the spirit for a little bit, release our sound, everyone together. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. For you are good and you are loving. I bless your name, O Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Peace be upon your people, O God. Peace be upon your people, O God. Let grace and peace be multiplied here in this place. Here in this place, O God. Let grace and peace be multiplied. Iyalama. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, that we are many voices singing one song. There's a fellowship here, Lord, that runs deep, that runs from many years ago to the cross, Lord. And we thank you for that song we sing together. That you'd encourage people in here, Lord, they're not sure where they fit in, Lord, that you've given them a voice to fit in. You've given them something unique to not hide, to not keep under a blanket, but to let out. And not for their glory, for your glory. We worship because we're not made to contain glory. It needs to be let out and redirected to the Father. Nobody else can handle our worship either. They're not made for it. Jesus is made for it, is equipped for it. And we join in with all creation when we worship. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Roger, for a good word.
Before we go, it's one thought I would like to add is that one of the First Nations speakers said on Friday night that unlike light, light doesn't need a medium, but sound needs a medium. It has to come from some medium. And so God has deposited a sound in us. And it's only through us, as we cooperate with him and our voice agrees with heaven, that we're going to release the sounds of heaven. So, God is looking to each one of us to release what he's put within us and to use us as mediums to transmit the sounds of heaven that will begin to fill the earth.